Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. It is Isaiah 55, verse 11 to 13. And it goes like this. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So we talked last week a little bit about this, just explaining God said clearly that he is going to bring us into joy. And he's going to do things that cause us great joy. He's going to do things that cause his creation around us to rejoice. And it's going to bring him honor. And it will be for an eternal sign or an everlasting sign. And so we talked a little bit last week about creation, how it actually rejoices. All of creation rejoices. And creation totally rejoices. And the one thing that makes creation rejoice the most is when people come to Christ, when there's salvation. So we went through that and it was amazing. But today I want to look at this part of joy, and it's this. God wants us to live in joy. And I'll explain a little more what I mean by that in a bit. Let's look at the first scripture. God wants his people to rejoice. Psalm 68, 3 to 4. It says, let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. So when you read a portion of scripture and it repeats something over and over, it's because it wants you to understand he means what he's saying. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We are called to rejoice in God's presence. All right, Isaiah 35, 1 to 10. And we read a part of this last week. Let's just look at it again. And I'm only going to read the first four verses today. The desert will blossom like a rose and rejoice. Every dry and barren place will burst forth with abundant blossoms, dancing and spinning with delight. Lebanon's lush splendor covers it. The magnificent beauty of Carmel and Sharon. My people will see the awesome glory of Yahweh, the beautiful grandeur of our God. Verse 3, strengthen those who are discouraged. Energize those who feel defeated. Say to the anxious and fearful, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He is breaking through to give you victory. He comes to avenge your enemies. With divine retribution, he comes to save you. God wants his people to rejoice. And God does things to bring a rejoicing heart to you. As well, God tells us as Christians to encourage and strengthen those around us. When someone is fearful, they are not likely to rejoice. You won't see a fearful person rejoicing. It's just the two feelings don't go together, okay? Rejoicing, if you're feeling depressed, you're not going to rejoice. If you're feeling extremely angry, you're not going to rejoice. But yet, God clearly throughout Scripture says he wants his people to be a joyful people, a rejoicing people. Okay, so I want you to get that. And I know some, as we're going through this, you're thinking, okay, we get it, but you can't like make yourself rejoice, can you? Well, let's just look at his word. All right, Nehemiah 8 and verse 9. This is a story in Nehemiah where he has gone back to Jerusalem, which was defeated, had been broken down, but now they were going back and they were going to reestablish, and a wall was built. And then After the wall, they begin working on a temple. And at this time, it says Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people, said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." What a picture. All of the people who were there in that land that had been defeated, and they're trying to build it back up now. Some of them have been allowed to return, and they're hearing the word of God again, but they have not heard it for years. For 70 years, Israel was in captivity. And there was no priest, there was no reading of the word. Now they're hearing the word and they realize they haven't been following it. And the first thing that happens is they begin to weep because they're reading and realizing we have not done what God's asked. But yet the heart of God as he speaks through Nehemiah and to Ezra is not that you need to weep and be discouraged and defeated. He's saying, "This is a holy day to the Lord. Rejoice." Now, can I say to you, when we come together in church, when we get together, it should be a time of rejoicing before God and his presence. And if you're thinking, "Well, I made terrible mistakes," the Israelites made terrible mistakes. If you're thinking, "I haven't done what he said," they didn't do what he said. But he was saying, "I'm here now. You're getting it. You're hearing it. Rejoice. Because this is the day of the Lord." I want to encourage you, no matter what you've done, if you come and you hear the word of God and it pricks your heart, rejoice because it means you got it. If something becomes real to you that you understand, "Oh, that doesn't please God," rejoice because you got it. Don't become heavy, because know this, he wouldn't tell you if he didn't love you. And as they heard those words of Nehemiah saying you need to rejoice, they took him at his word. And they went and they gathered food and they had time of rejoicing. And if you read it in the context, they rejoiced even longer. They extended the time of rejoicing because it was a day to rejoice. When you come into the presence of God, rejoicing is a good thing. And interesting, the last part he reads, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." If you're feeling weary, if you're feeling like, "I don't have anything left," the joy of the Lord can be your strength. All right, I'm going to leave it at that for that verse. Proverbs 17 and 22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Let me read that to you again in the Passion Translation. So that's Proverbs 17, 22. It says, "A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression." I'm going to read that again. "A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul." A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to your body and soul. "But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression." Many of you have heard that verse before, that a joyful heart or a merry heart, whatever version you have, maybe you have the version that says a merry heart does good like a medicine. Well, we know even from science that it's true. Being joyful, having laughter is healthy. I went online and it's called the Help Guide, Trusted Guide to Mental Health and Wellness. And it has titled in its article, "Laughter is the Best Medicine." And it says, "It's fun to share a good laugh, but did you know it can actually improve your health? Learn how to harness the powerful benefits of laughter and humor." And it says, "Laughter is good for your health." Here's the ways laughter is good for your health. Listen to this. "Laughter relaxes your whole body. A good hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes after." You need to relieve stress. Laugh. "Laughter boosts the immune system. This is pretty cool. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving resistance to disease. That's amazing, isn't it? Laughing can actually increase immune system. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. Laughter protects the heart. Well, this is a good one. Laughter protects your heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. And laughter burns calories. This is important for New Year's resolutions about losing weight. They go on to say that it's not a lot of calories. But anyways. All right. Also, laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Looking at the funny side can put problems into perspective and enable you to move on from confrontations without holding on to bitterness or resentment. And this is not a Christian website. I'm just reading from a medical health site. And finally, laughter may even help you live longer. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly notable for those battling cancer. Truly, God says in his word over and over, hey, I want you to be joyful. I want you to rejoice. Even at a time where they're weeping because they'd messed up, and he's saying, it's all right. This is my day. Rejoice. And it's good for you. Joy is an inner gladness or happiness deep inside that shows itself on the outside. And it shows itself in many different ways. It could be a smile, shouting, jumping, laughing, dancing, spinning, or singing. Those are all words used for rejoice in our Bible. And they're all ways of showing joy from the inside out. You know, when I start looking at these verses, it encourages me because I see that the God we serve wants us to have a joyful life. You didn't come to serve Christ. You didn't come to be a part of serving God so that you could have a miserable life. As a matter of fact, if somebody told you that, they lied. Serving Christ is not miserable. If it is, then you're doing something wrong. Maybe following what man says instead of what God says. Jesus clearly wanted his followers to be full of the same joy he had. We maybe don't see Jesus as a joyful person because we know that he went through suffering. And they said he went through some sorrow, but it said he did it for the joy that was set before him or ahead of him. But also during his time, he was a joyful person. How do I know that? John 15, verse 11. Jesus talking to his disciples says this in John 15, 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What's he saying? He's talking to his disciples and he's saying, guys, I want you to be joyful like I am. That tells me he was a joyful person and they knew it, or he wouldn't have said it. I want the same joy in me to be in you. That's what he says to them. And that your joy may be full. Everybody say full. Everybody say full. One more time. Everybody say full. Okay, I just want to make sure I had your attention. When something is really full, what happens if you bump it? Think about it. You got your coffee cup full to the brim. You're walking along and all of a sudden someone bumps you. It spills. So us, we should be so full that when we're going through our day or we're being bumped, joy is coming out. Laughter's coming out. But if our cup is full of bitterness or anger when we get bumped, look out. We've been there. Every one of us has probably been there, so I'm not picking on anybody. But he wants us to be full of joy so that that's what's coming out. And so Jesus said this to his disciples, I want your joy to be full. If you're like me, I'm thinking I can take some more joy, God. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Joy, I want more of it. Let it overflow. Let it come out. In John 16 and verse 24, Jesus again talking to his disciples says this. He says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. And then he looks at them and he says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. You know, for some, maybe it's things you're going through. Maybe it's something that's happening. You're like, God, I need some joy. You need to ask him. Just ask him. And he said, ask anything in my name, and I'm going to do it for you. I love what he says. The whole reason he wants to do it for you is so that your joy can be full. Think about it. There could have been any kind of, well, I want to do it for you so you know I'm great. Or I want to do it for you so you know God has so much love. Or I want to do it for you so that you really know that I am the Messiah. Nope. I want to do it for you so your joy will be full. Wow. I think that is pretty cool. God and Christ Jesus, who is God, wants his people full of joy. Luke 10 and 21. I told you that Christ was a person of joy. Look at this verse with me. Luke 10, 21. In that same hour, it's talking about Jesus, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. That rejoice right there where it says Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, that rejoice means to dance and spin about. I know, you just thought Jesus walked very calmly with his prayer shawl. Here he was dancing and spinning about with joy because of what God was doing and doing through his followers. Isn't that cool? Here Jesus was dancing and spinning about because of what God did for them. That's awesome. If you can learn to dance and spin about because of what God's doing for somebody else, you are headed for some amazing things with God. Okay, one little thing that we'll talk about later, but this, if you focus on all of your problems, you won't be joyful. But if you focus on him and what he's doing in you and in others, the problems become small and the joy begins to flow. Right now, we're talking about Christ wants you. I'm just trying to make a really strong point today that you will never forget Christ wants his people joyful. Okay? That's what I want you to know. When you leave out of here, if you don't remember anything else I've said, you will not doubt God wants Christians to be joyful. Christians should be joyful. As a matter of fact, Christians who believe what the Bible says should be the most joyful people on earth. Let me say that again. Christians who believe what the Bible says should be the most joyful people on earth. Because if you truly believe this, you know that God is with you now. You know that he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. You know that he has the power to heal, set free, deliver. And you know that you're going to be with him for eternity in an amazing paradise. So if we really believe it, we should be joyful. We are instructed actually in the New Testament in a couple places to always be joyful. And this is actually, when I read this, I'm like, I don't know, but let's just go to scripture. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. New Living Translation says it like this. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Okay, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Wow. In other words, this is God's will for Christians. So this is God's will for Christians. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. That's a really good person to hang around with and be a friend to, isn't it? Think about that. If you were thinking, well, Iron, a really good friend, well, you should find a Christian then, because it says they're always joyful, they never stop praying, and they're thankful in every circumstance. Yes. Okay, I know we don't always get it right. But this is what he's saying he wants for us. It's his will for us. And we can walk in this. We really can. And that's why we're doing this series on joy, because I believe God wants us to walk in this. Our joy is not determined by our circumstances. Did you know that? But it's a choice we make as we choose to focus on our amazing God and the amazing things he continually does. Let me say it this way. God doesn't want us to just have moments of joy while we live a life of despair or maybe anger or sadness or bitterness. But he wants us to live a life of joy that may have moments that cause us to weep. You know, there's scriptures that say weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Maybe you've read Ecclesiastes and it says there's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. But those are moments in a life that's filled with joy. I need to get you this picture that you understand what I'm talking about tonight. A life filled with joy and only moments of the other. But some people, even Christians, because of things that have happened and maybe a lack of understanding what God wants, they're living in something else and only are able to have moments of joy. Do you hear me? And God wants to help us. He wants to change that. He wants to cause us to live in joy, and there will only be moments of the other things because of the sinful world we live in. Because of the fact that we will be close to people and sometimes people hurt, or you'll be close to people and sometimes they go home before us. There's many reasons for moments, but we need to live. The foundation of everything that we live in should be joy with other moments. Okay? And I don't want to take away from any loss that anyone might be feeling, or, you know, that love, that deep love you have for others that maybe have gone on, or hurts that have come. Those are not nothing. Please don't misunderstand me. But God wants you to have an unbelievable joy that those are only moments in. And he wants to bring healing to hearts that are feeling heavy. He wants to bring healing to hearts that are unable to feel joy. In our next message, we're going to get deeper into how to walk in joy and some of the aspects, maybe some specific things. But today, we're going to take a little bit of time. We want to speak and pray, or speak and ask for joy. So we're going to do the beginning part of it. And what I mean by that is, from what I've given you here, you now know, you understand, okay, God wants me to live in joy, and those other things are moments, not the other way around. So you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So now you hear and you know from Scripture, okay, we can speak that truth into our lives, and we can ask him. That's the prayer part. So that's where we are today. That's as deep as we're going to get today. And in another message, we'll give some more specifics about, okay, how do I get healed from this? How do I work on this? Okay? So that's what I want to do today. And the speaking part is pretty easy. You can speak to things you don't want in your life, and you can say, you know, you need to leave my life. You can speak and ask for God's joy to fill. I'm going to give you a story here to kind of explain it a little bit. And this is a story that happened many years ago, and I won't use any names or anything, but a young man came to me, and something had happened in his life that was, to him, he felt it had ruined his life. And he felt, there's no way that this will ever be fixed. It's going to follow me around for the rest of my life. He made a really big mistake, he felt. He'd been tricked into it. And now the consequences of it were going to go on and on and on. And he felt that it was going to follow him for the rest of his life. And he was just a teenager. And he had a heaviness come over his life. He was a Christian, and he'd messed up bad. And this heaviness came into his life to the point where he'd lay in his bed at night and think, why am I alive? I messed up so bad. God probably can't use me ever again. And the heaviness got heavier and heavier. And he began to call out to God. If this was over a period of months. And he began to call out to God, and he said, God, if you're really who you say you are, I need to ask you to help me. And he had heard about meetings where people were laughing and where they would fall on the ground laughing and they were saying it was the Holy Spirit. And he didn't really know if he believed that. But he said, Lord, if that's really your Holy Spirit, I need it right now because I kind of hate life. And if that's really your Holy Spirit, just give me that joy. I want to laugh again. And he was laying in his bed when he said it. And he said, all of a sudden, he felt this warm feeling go over him, in him, and he knew it was the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, he began to laugh. And he began to laugh, and he couldn't stop. And the thing is, nothing had changed. Nothing in his situation had changed. Nothing about the consequences had changed. Nothing, but he couldn't stop laughing. The heaviness was completely gone, and he was laughing, holding, and he was laughing and laughing, and finally, he didn't know how long he laughed for, but he was aching all over from laughing too much. I don't know if anybody's ever laughed till your stomach hurts. Oh, he could not stop. So finally, he's laughing and he's laughing. He says, okay, God, that's enough. I believe it's your Holy Spirit. Stop. And he stopped and he was able to sleep. The heaviness never returned. And I remember because I got to see this young man often and throughout that entire summer, he would just, if you bumped him, laughter would come out. What do I mean by that? If it was a little bit of a joke, he would laugh and laugh. And honestly, I can remember walking beside him. I don't remember what was funny, but he started laughing, and the next thing he's down, like he fell on the ground laughing. But what happened? Shouldn't he have been so heavy that he still hated life? No, because God wanted joy in him. He fell on the ground laughing, and the interesting thing, when somebody's laughing and having joy, what happens to everybody around them? I started laughing, and I laughed, and I couldn't stop, and my stomach hurt. Joy transformed him because he asked. I remember another time, and we were having coffee. We used to have tea time, we'd call it. We were having tea time and we were at the table drinking our tea or our coffee and we had cake. We were drinking. I don't know what happened. Somebody said something and again he started to laugh, but the only thing is he was drinking coffee and coffee came out his nose and all over the place and he started laughing and he pretty much fell off his chair, but the whole table was laughing. There was this deep joy. He was transformed simply because he asked. His situation didn't change. Not at that moment. But his heart did. You know what? You can't change what's happened in the past. You can't go back and undo something, but you can sure let go of it, give it to the Lord, and ask him to give you joy. You can do that. And he can take you forward being a person that's so full of joy that when people bump you, you start laughing. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.